All right, this is Dong De Brass Stocks.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Peter, it's
Acting PM. Sorry, I didn't realize it was you because we were trying to get the line sorted out. We weren't sure if you have you here. So welcome to the program. Thank you for responding to Thank you for responding to our invitation. This is my first opportunity to speak to you in this forum. Let me just say first, Santia, that I want to congratulate you on the work that you've been doing so far. I also want to let you know, as I said previously on the program, that you have my support in whatever way it is needed. This is a tremendous burden that you're forced to carry, and you know, there's no rule book regarding the way in which an issue like this is to be dealt with, because it has never happened before. So I certainly want to assure you of my support. Having said that, however, I do have some concerns, and I think that you know that my support and my love is with you, but at the same time, I do feel that it is important to raise some issues of concern that many of us have been having, and to let you know that it is not criticism to the extent, it's essentially just critical concern, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program. So, first up, I have some reservations about the manner in which the supermarket closure was handled. My sense is that it created a level of anxiety in Barbados that was entirely unacceptable, and far from making the situation better, it made the situation worse. Having said that, however, we are now a few days on, and you have announced that supermarkets can reopen with some limited realities. My question to you, firstly, is would it not have been better to have almost unlimited opening of supermarkets, with persons essentially having access to supermarkets if and when they need it, so that they can go in small numbers, as has happened in several countries of the world? And instead of having limited opening, essentially you have a longer opening, which essentially creates this or reinforces the point that was made by the Prime Minister earlier, that supermarkets should not be closed because they are an essential service. Mm-hmm. That's the first concern. Can I give you all of them and then?
Well, let me take that one first. Let me take the opportunity, first of all, Peter, to say thank you for having me on the show. Good afternoon to Barbadians as well who are listening. I appreciate the fact that you are supportive, as have been others in the media as well, and I hope that that will continue, because we can't do this without, obviously, the various partners to be able to spread the message to the general Barbadian public, and certainly to the visitors who are on island as well. I do understand the concerns that some may have had in relation to us having to close in the manner in which we did. I want people to be mindful that it was nothing that we took lightly in terms of getting to that point, but based on all of the advice that had been given by the public health officials as well, that was available to us at the time, there were some genuine concerns in terms of what was happening at the supermarkets, and the number of persons that were interfacing at the supermarkets and the number of the practices that they were seeing. Therefore, we took the decision that it was perhaps best to have persons off the road, and then to be able to have limited access of persons who were obviously essential service providers, the healthcare workers, the persons who needed to be able to go to the grocery, or basically to do the limited things that we've asked persons to go into the pharmacy, for instance. If Barbadians hadn't had a month's notice, we would perhaps still have had the same type of anxiety being raised. We have been saying to Barbadians, you know, this is a different situation. Please prepare. The substantive Prime Minister has said it repeatedly over the course of the past few weeks, asking Barbadians to be mindful that they needed to, you know, just stock up. I think initially when we saw the long lines at the supermarkets, people were saying, you know, Barbadians were panicking. We took the view, however, that just as last year we'd been asking Barbadians to stock up when the hurricanes were coming, that Barbadians were battening down. And the patterns that we have had spoken to us from the persons in the retail sector have suggested that the vast majority of Barbadians have actually acquired a number of the items that they need to get through the next few days. it is really our concern that the persons who may not have had the check changed on Friday, or the persons who may get income coming to them sporadically, that those persons are the persons really right now that we're trying to target to get back into the supermarkets to be able to purchase the items. So I don't think there's any right or wrong way that we could have done it. I think I appreciate the concern, but if you look at every other island, it was a similar situation in the big countries, in the region. People panic generally, or they get very anxious when they hear somewhere is closing. Bank holidays, when we have bank holidays in Barbados, it's the long lines. People are always in a number of the entities trying to rush to get supplies. That is the instinct of Barbadians to just get what they can because they don't know when it's going to run out. It is regrettable because I would have hoped that Barbadians would also have paid attention to all of the messaging that we've been putting out, repeating to them all the time. You know, we want you to take some precautions in terms of the physical distancing. And it's just regrettable that they didn't pay attention to those things and instead they became anxious about the situation. But we've sought to enable persons to go back to the supermarkets. We've had a number of extensive consultations with the private sector, and they've been really cooperating with us. They've shared their concerns, and I think we've found a happy medium at this point in which we can basically allow persons who need the essential items to go out during the curfew, as well as to balance that against the safety of the workers as well. Having thousands of persons, Peter, coming into the supermarket is not the preferred option at this point. And I can tell you that we have been looking, obviously, at what has been happening across the world, where they've been looking at the restrictions based on age or restrictions based on the surname of a person or the last two numbers on the ID card, or even based on a card. So those are the discussions that are ongoing with the private sector. But we feel very strongly that in the next few days, that we need to give those persons who did not get the items the opportunity to just be able to buy a few items to stock up.
Okay. Next question that just came up from a lady regarding hardware stores. She lives in St. Joseph. She says that they have been deprived of water. I don't need to lecture you on the St. Joseph and the St. John situations. People up there are complaining and they've been hurting for a long time. I think St. Andrew also is similarly afflicted by water issues. She's saying that she has a pump which is not working, and even if she were able to get it filled, she still can't get the pump fixed because the hardwares are closed. The larger issue, though, of water availability, is there anything you can say to persons who are now faced with additional challenges in terms of maintaining their health and the sanitary facilities at this time?
I know that the Barbados Water Authority has been working tirelessly to try to get water to those persons who need it. Obviously, even before COVID-19, Barbados was water scarce. We've been putting out all of the PSAs, and we've been speaking to the fact of asking Barbadians to conserve water. We've spoken to the issue of the reservoirs, that we are not seeing the quantity of water that we would have wanted to see before. And COVID has really compounded the issue because now you have more people at home, and we're persons might have had access to the workplace sometimes to be able to grab a shower or by a friend or something. Obviously, the restrictions have created and compounded the issue somewhat. So we're mindful of what the challenges are, but I know the Water Authority is on the ground. They're one of the providers that we have given permission to be able to respond. And you would have seen with the residents in St. John that we were able to send out the tankers to be able to try to service those persons who required it. The assurances from Water Authority is that that will continue. In relation to the what you mentioned just now about the village shops and stuff like the hardware stores, we listen to representations, particularly from the members of Parliament and certainly the representatives from Cabinet who represent those types of constituencies, St. Andrew, St. Lucy, St. Thomas, in relation to the concerns about water as well and access to supplies. And that's why we were able to relax this morning the measures that were in place in relation to the mini marts. It was a recognition, obviously, that there are a number of these entities that may have started out as a village shop, but they have emerged into growing their business into having larger operations, not as large as a supermarket, but they really are the first point of reference for servicing communities. So we relax that somewhat where they can obviously do what the larger supermarkets are doing, We've asked them to basically come on board to be able to work with us to get the supplies prepackaged as much as possible and the curbside pickup. But they too will be asked to use the same mechanisms that the supermarkets are using to be able to service people within the community as well.
Okay. The other question I have or concern, and then I'll go to the long list of concerns from people who are messaging, relates to the absence of deposit facilities. I bank with a bank which has the capacity to read electronic transactions that are made, electronic deposits. They have what they call smart ATMs. The same day that the lockdown went into place, they shut off that smart deposit facility. And I maintain that in 2020, it is entirely unacceptable, smart machines or not, that persons that are holding checks cannot deposit those checks to benefit from those resources at this point in time, because the banks are saying that they're unable to do it. The banks are saying that it is government. I don't know whether that is the case, but the impression I'm getting is that the banks are saying that government has precluded them from doing this. What can you say to those number of people out there who are saying, if I can withdraw money, why can I not deposit money?
Well, I think the discussions are ongoing with the banking sector in relation to how we address that. I know a number of persons in the various sectors indicated that they would need to continue doing deposits. I know the AG had been in consultation with the banking sector regarding how those persons could be accommodated. With respect to the person who have the checks, I've been also speaking with Mr. Clark as well as Ms. Tanis regarding the acceptance of those checks at the supermarkets as well. Because as we said, we're trying to ensure that persons who would have received the necessary welfare assistance as well, that those persons can also cash them at the various supermarkets. So I hope that before the end of the program, I can speak back to that, because I'm just waiting on confirmation from them. But that is the intention, that we will allow persons to be able to present the checks at the various supermarkets to be able to have them cashed at this point in time.
Okay. All right. At this point in time, I'm going to open the lines. If you can stick with us for a while, ma'am, and if you can entertain some questions and concerns. I'm looking through the questions online, and the vast majority of them relate to concerns over the supermarket issue, which is ultimately a repetition of what would have been said already. So I'm going to give way now to calls. The number is 434-1790. We are on the line with Ms. Santia Bradshaw, who is the acting Prime Minister. She's given us the opportunity, or giving you the opportunity, to converse directly with her for the next several minutes. And let's hope that persons will make good use of this opportunity to speak directly to the boss. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Acting Prime Minister. Let me just say to you that I'm pleased with the way you handled this press conference. I like the fact that you said that you do not believe that Bajans are in discipline. That was a comforting and responsible comment coming from someone at your level, given the gravity of the situation we're in. You may not agree with me, but I want to suggest that I believe the CSER should have his own research team. The reason why I say that is because we need people, or we need some persons to do fact-finding. We need people that gather information, various types of information, collate that information, identify particular problems, weaknesses, strengths, so that we are essentially matching solutions to problems. I really think that this is an important
Ma'am, can you ask a question to the acting Prime Minister, please? Because we don't have a lot of time, and there are lots of people waiting to get online. Can you just present the question, please?
But acting Prime Minister, let me just ask you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You are meeting with the private sector. You're meeting with government, is meeting with businesses and so on. The last subcommittee meeting, I heard there were supermarket owners, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I am thinking there are 30 constituencies across Barbados. Were community leaders or responsible people within the community who have a better sense of what is happening on the ground and within the various communities, were they part of any of the meetings so that they can inform and give a better sense of what are the needs of the people?
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the question. We're going to ask the acting Prime Minister to respond, and then we're going to take some more calls. So thank you. Yes, go right ahead, Ms. Bradshaw. Ms. Bradshaw, can you go ahead to answer the question? I'm sorry, have we lost Ms. Santia Bradshaw?
Santia, thank you for the comments. I want to reassure you that the Czar does work with a team of persons to be able to compile and to do the research that is necessary. I know the University of the West Indies has been working very closely with us in terms of being able to look at the various statistics and certainly the modeling to be able to give us some guidelines as to where we are and where we're likely to be over the course of the next few weeks and certainly the next few months. Obviously, he weighs in on this in consultation with the team of public health officials. So I want to just indicate to you that we have been very clear in terms of the consultative process and the research process that has been taking place. The figures and the statistics are not by chance, but they are after deep consultation with all of the respective parties. With respect to the second question, I think we would appreciate that we can't, in this environment, engage in the type of consultation that we would like. We've been using the virtual meetings. I mean, even at Cabinet, we've been doing virtual meetings. There are discussions on the table that at some point you can do virtual Parliament. But in relation to drilling down to the grassroots level, we've relied on the 30 representatives, certainly in the parliamentary group, well, the 29 plus the leader of the opposition, to be able to look at the situation across communities and also have the persons from the public health officials also weigh in as to what is happening on the ground. And that has been really essentially guiding our response in terms of what is happening in communities. So it's not being done in isolation. As I said, the members who represent rural constituencies, they weighed in because sometimes the first point of complaint or criticism is often through the constituency representatives who are often in contact with the community representative. We have in Labour, through the Honourable Minister Colin Jordan, a very good relationship with our churches. And even when we made the concessions the last time, they were done after consultation with the various entities representing the churches. So the caller can be assured that at all stages, we've been consulting with various sectors through the Ministry of Agriculture. We have been speaking to, through the minister, we've been speaking to the various stakeholders in relation to the position, in relation to the farmers and how they're going to get their products to market. The minister for the blue economy has also weighed in relation to the fish market. So I think the Ministry of Welfare as well, Minister Cynthia Ford has been at the forefront of discussing with us the issues in relation to persons who may require social interventions and how we deal with it. So while we may not have had every single community leader engage in conversation, I think that the channels have been opened through the representatives and through the various stakeholders to weigh in on the discussions. And we've actually even spoken to the union as well, because they've been involved in our conversation and they represent for the large part the workers as well. So consultation was always the position that this government had when we were in opposition, and it certainly is the way that we continue to determine what we do in government as well.
And I would certainly add that we have, the fact that you're here and you're sitting with us for this extended period of time is, I would like to think, is one of the best forms of direct consultation with the public.
Agreed, Peter.
And I'm happy that you've agreed to continue. Well, we have a few more questions. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We have a caller on the line from Georgetown, Guyana. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Okay, you're on the line now with the acting Prime Minister. You wanted to raise a concern?
Yes. What I wanted to find, my name is Tyrone, and I've been here in Georgetown from the 17th, more or less stranded. I had made several calls to the consulate here in Guyana. I called the CARICOM Secretariat here in Guyana. Also, I called Barbados Foreign Affairs Office, and I called the Prime Minister's Office. I was actually told by somebody that I shouldn't be in Guyana at this time, and I'm not there on government business. Now, I'm trying to find out if anything is being done to help us get back to Barbados, and what kind of hope can we hold out for?
Caller, Tyrone, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Okay, I regret that you are stranded, as you say, in Guyana. I think, as you know, we are not in normal times in relation to travel. And I think all of the countries have had to take to move to the necessary restrictions being placed on air travel. I don't know if you can do something for me on the line, if you can allow your information to be shared so that I can get the information to the Minister of Foreign Affairs. And perhaps we can liaise with you in terms of being able to see what we can do in the future.
Okay. All right, sir. Okay. So, John, if you can take the gentleman's details, I believe he was also in contact with Mr. Ellis, so we can follow that information up and we can forward it either directly to you, Santia, or we can send it to Roy Morris or even to Dr. Walker alternatively. So thanks a lot for calling, sir. Two questions that we have here online. A lady is asking me about child custody exchange arrangements. Father 1 week, mother next week, have to exchange on Friday, but they cannot be on the road. Are there any exceptions being made for these types of situations?
Expressed by parents who find themselves in those situations. We're asking people to just be bear with us at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the restrictions are not indefinite, but if you can adhere to the regulations right now, obviously, within the course of the next couple of days, we'll try to make different arrangements because we're mindful that there are a cross-section of persons who share custody of persons. But again, our responsibility is to make sure that we can limit the contact at this point in time, mm-hmm. because that is going to, if we have to do it for every single person who is in this situation, I think you can appreciate that we will have a range of requests coming in. And I think in our priorities, first and foremost, we're trying to deal with the issue of food and getting food to persons and to deal with the essential services. So I know it is inconvenient at this stage, but I really do ask Barbadians who find themselves in this situation to just bear with us for a little bit longer so that we can iron out, get the priority items addressed, and then we can hopefully be able to relax some of the directives that have been given to be able to allow for that access. We've tried to ask people to use the phone, try to be able to even do video calling if possible so the children can still see their parents. As I said, it's not a definite fair situation, enough. But I really do feel that, provisions can be made alternatively in the interim.
Yeah. No, I mean, I keep saying to people that in the Second World War, you saw stories of people sending their children off to the countryside, living in the underground in London to avoid bombing. Essentially, we are in a similar situation now. So I do feel mm-hmm. that we can invoke those kinds of exigencies, one could argue, in these situations and encourage people to hunker down for the time being. And I guess, better days will come. Acting PM, we have another question here regarding the 11 plus exam. And the person is saying that you have indicated that the 11 plus exam will be held in June tentatively. I have expressed concerns that this does nothing for the anxiety associated with the 11 plus exam and the fact that at this point in time, children who have access to homeschooling, to technology and so on are going to be in a far better advantage than those who don't. So unfortunately, the fact that there is still this pending 11 plus in June, which is actually not far from here, does create a level of anxiety that we can ill afford at this time. Is there anything that you can say regarding the 11 plus exam? Is there any possibility that the exam will be just discontinued one time this year? Because to me, in light of all of the priorities that we have, I would like to think that that is the least of the concerns that people who are at home with their children should have at this point in time.
Yeah. Peter, I think, you're perfectly correct. In normal circumstances, the 11 plus creates tremendous anxiety, not only for students, but certainly for their parents and also for teachers. So in a period of COVID, obviously, there are even greater concerns where people may feel that they may be disadvantaged because of not having access to the really relevant materials and certainly having to have that face-to-face interaction with teachers as well. What we tried to do when we terminated the end of the term a few weeks ago was that we took the opportunity in the last week to be able to speak to the various principals and certainly to the teaching profession and through the unions to be able to alert them to the fact that obviously circumstances were going to change. There was a lot of technology that the ministry would have invested in over the years, which had been underutilized, and we wanted to really spend that week and certainly the last few weeks bringing people up to date and retraining our IT coordinators so that instruction could continue at home. Fortunate for us, a number of the teachers have embraced that model. This is a program called G Suite for Education. Some of them had already been using it and using it quite successfully to communicate with their students. Others needed the refresher programs to be able to get them to a level where they could interface with students. But of course, we had the issue that there were some students who may not have connectivity in their community, or that they may not have access to devices. So we attempted then to do a survey to be able to see how many students would fall within that category to be able to see how we could facilitate. I can tell you at this stage that there were a number of private sector persons who did come forward to indicate that they would be willing to assist with the provisioning of devices. And we're working, obviously, we've been trying to source some devices as well. But you're perfectly right, in a COVID environment, one of our priorities has also been trying to source our medical supplies. So it's not to say that the educational supplies are not equally important, but a lot of resources have really gone into getting the medical supplies on island. We were looking at Kenya at one stage before Kenya started to have cases of COVID, and we are still in discussions with them to be able to get some devices out of Kenya, as Prime Minister would have announced in during the estimates, and I would have followed up on that as well, that we were looking to ensure that all students basically had access to devices as well as the teachers. So we are working every day trying to make sure that for the reopening of school, that students will not be disadvantaged who don't have access to devices, one, but also that where there are issues in terms of connectivity, the telecommunications providers have indicated as well that there is a way to be able to push the informative content to the devices, because it would be specific platforms that we're dealing with, so that students at home would be able to still continue to interact and interface with the learning equipment that is available to them. So those are all things that will be rolled out over the course of the next 2 weeks to ensure that students can still keep up to date. At some point, if we are allowed to go back into school, obviously, you know, we will make the adjustments accordingly. But during this period, it is important that, you know, the students have access to the emails, and we spend a lot of time trying to get parents to also understand the way in which we're going to now have to communicate, but also to be able to get our teachers to be able to communicate with those students as well from at home.
Okay. Two points on a personal note. Firstly, several messages have come in to me indicating that I need to apologize for calling you Santia. My profound apologies. I have to admit that it did not even cross my mind, and I often have this problem.
Okay,
so
let me
apologize and assure you that the appropriate title name will be used for the remainder of this program. Right.
Let me just say, Peter, I was born Santia. Titles come and go. I'm one, I think people know that I'm very humble, and therefore I don't take offense to it. I understand that the office brings with it these courtesies, but you are free on the program to call me by my name.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am. And the second point is a lady is calling out of personal concern. She said that she's a woman who's also had to endure similar challenges that you've had to endure from a health perspective. Mm-hmm. And she is asking that you take every precaution to assure your health at this point in time. She says, coming out of what you have come out of, as she did, you know, there are certain immune challenges, and she would hate to have you suffer secondly. So she's hoping that you're taking every effort to be safe, ensure social distancing, and make sure that your own situation is preserved as well as possible. So that's a concern by one of the callers.
And I want to say thank you to the caller and to all who have continued to call. They've been WhatsApping. It's unbelievable the amount of people who have expressed similar sentiments. And I can't say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you for those concerns. But I also want to reassure the public that I, more than perhaps anyone else, understands what COVID-19, you know, presents to people who have a compromised immunity. I went through a period where I considered wearing a mask. I was told that I could wear it when I traveled. I was told that, you know, you had to obviously watch what you ate during treatment, and I had to take certain precautions. So I perhaps understand exactly what COVID is requiring of us as a country. It may not have been what I wanted to do on the advice of the doctors, but I had to do those things because I understood that it was not business as usual. And I think for the most part, I feel like I've been prepared for this process right now that we're going through. And I really urge Barbadians to take on board the fact that, you know, we are where we are, not because we have been deliberate in getting here, but these are some times that are, you know, beyond our control. Yeah. And therefore, when we advise you to wash your hands and to sanitize and to protect the elderly and to make sure that the most vulnerable are protected, or even for the elderly people who are at home who may be concerned that they may have symptoms, you know, don't wait until it's too late. You know, those who think that they may be compromised, they need to be able to reach out to, if they suspect they have symptoms, they need to call the COVID hotline and to be able to get the necessary advice. But precautions are key. In everything, and I think people need to be reminded that this is really, you know, this virus is no joke. It is taking down prime ministers, it is taking down members of parliament, it is taking down the average person, it's taking down healthcare workers. But at the end of the day, we have all signed up as officials to represent the people, and I think I've demonstrated when I was going through my illness, I found ways to be able to engage with technology. I had to change the way in which I interfaced and I interacted with my ministry. I tried to still be on top of things with the media and communicating, because that is what I signed up to do. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I want to just assure I will take the precautions, but I will not step back from the duty for which people have asked me to represent them for.
Okay, let's go back to the lines. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon to you and the acting prime minister. A couple of things here. I would suggest to people that when they're ordering goods online to make sure they look at the goods properly, especially when it comes to vegetables. Because normally, when you go shopping, there are certain things that you will pick and you will not pick out. But when you order things online, it seems to me, or it appears to me, that the people in the supermarket will get rid of some things, and therefore they put any and everything in what you have ordered. So I would tell the people in Barbados, be very careful when ordering things online and make sure that they check the buys properly. The other thing is to the Prime Minister, acting Prime Minister, I would like to know who is the genius that will come up with an idea to open a gas station to sell gas and to sell top-up and not yet bottled gas. That person deserves an A+.
Okay. All right, sir, thank you for your question. We'll let the acting Prime Minister to respond.
Yeah, thank you, caller. I think the reality is, in terms of checking the things in bags, I again, it's not normal times. I trust the retailers will ensure that the quality of the goods is certainly of the standard that people would find acceptable. But as I said this morning as well, this is not a time for what you want. This is also more about us trying to be able to get the things that you need. So if you are accustomed to large potatoes, you might get potatoes that are a little smaller. But the reality is you're going to get potatoes. And if it is that, you know, the items do not, I would not support that if you get things that are totally unacceptable, that you don't raise a complaint or a concern. But again, I would ask Barbadians to do so in a manner which respects the social distancing and respects the environment in which we are presently operating. I don't think suppliers of food will have a difficulty if there's a genuine concern, but let us remember why we are here, and therefore what may obtain in normal circumstances cannot obtain under these circumstances. With respect to the issue of the bottled gas, I know that the concern was raised that not so much that people couldn't purchase the bottled gas, but I think the concern was more that there was an issue of people hoarding. And just as we've seen in terms of people going into supermarkets and purchasing excessive items, not necessarily for need, but more for want, we were starting to see as well a situation where they were hoarding on the bottled gas. But we recognize that bottled gas obviously is an essential supply. And I hope that once the operators are able to stock back up, that we will be able to allow persons to be able to access the bottled gas at the respective gas stations. So it's not an oversight, but I think it has to be placed in a context. In the initial stages, there was a genuine challenge in terms of us getting the bottled gas to the people who most need it. And we would ask Barbadians to just desist from trying to hoard items such as bottled gas and other essential items like that, because you really are inconveniencing the people sometimes who are most vulnerable and who really are relying on these things to be able to cook a few things during the day.
So essentially it was an issue of no gas, no bottles, and not no gas. So
correct.
The gas was available, but there were just no bottles, okay. As opposed to a prohibition.
Correct.
Right. And I have to admit that this morning I saw people making their way from gas stations with bottles. So that's something that's hopefully under control. We take a few more questions. Yeah. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, this is Minister Brooker here.
Okay.
I'm a senior citizen. Mm-hmm. I live with my wife here, and her medication run out now 3 days, and the pharmacy is closed because K. Shepherd closed down, and the pharmacy is in K. Shepherd. And we have a problem that to get the repeats, and which part we could go to get the repeats tomorrow when we go to the post office. I got two, I was wrapping up all 2-in-1, and sure. We would like to know that we could get the repeat so she could get your medication. And the other problem is that I have called Larry Mays the other evening, last week, and I told him I had a dry cough and a sore throat, and he told me to get checked. But then people come in here every day and calling my name out the house and say I got the cover, and me and my wife got the cover. I can't take it no more. It's sickening. They're annoying me, and they just come in left in the home and come in front of our house because we live alone and tormenting me that I got the cover.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you for your question, Acting Prime Minister, your response.
Yes, Mr. Booker, you know, it's regrettable that in this environment that people will seek to discriminate against other persons or to, you know, attribute to you something which may not be correct. I think there are genuine fears out there. When people cough, I think it is, you know, a genuine concern that people have. But I would also encourage Barbadians to desist from that. If you are sick, we've outlined very carefully what you need to do in order to seek attention, especially if you're in that at-risk category of being elderly. Don't wait at home if there are symptoms developing. We advise you to just make your way to calling, first of all, to walk through the symptoms with the health officials and then making a determination whether then you need to have the testing done. And they can guide you accordingly based on the symptoms by phone. But we have to get our population to respect that, you know, in this environment, that approach is not necessary. No, you know, we don't want the stigma, we don't want the discrimination associated with COVID-19. And I think that is something we have to continue to reiterate. With respect to your medication, I know that the in your situation, obviously, you may not have had access to it. We've had some issues with the supplies of the medication, just like other supplies coming into the country. I know there have been some challenges, but I believe the pharmacies are working through the system to be able to get the necessary quantity of medication. I would encourage you to perhaps try again tomorrow to be able to see if the pharmacy has the items available. I don't know if you can mention the medication, perhaps offline, and perhaps I can have a word with the executive chair of the hospital to be able to see if that medication is actually on island. So, Peter, I'm asking you to take some calls, some numbers and some calls to me offline. But I will certainly try to follow up to see what is the holdup, and maybe if advice can be given sometimes to persons, if there's an alternative available, maybe that may be the solution. But I suspect the pharmacist would perhaps have already, you know, assessed the situation to determine what they could do. But it may just be that the shortage is on that particular medication.
Okay, so Mr. Booker, I believe we hung up already. So if you can give us a call back and leave your information with Mr. Johnstone, the producer, and I will forward that information along with the other call that we had to you. Down to brass tacks. PM, I have a couple of questions here today. Firstly, one is from David, and he's asking about pet food from supermarkets. Has any provision been made regarding the opening of animal food stores or whether he would be able to procure pet food from supermarkets? That's not something that would normally be in the basket. And I also have another question quickly came online from a person asking if the supermarket stipulation only applies for this week, or if it is until the end of the lockdown period on the 14th of April.
Okay, so just let the caller know, the curfew is obviously until the 14th, and therefore these measures are in place unless we have to change them before, but I doubt very much. Those measures are in place until the 14th of this month.
Okay, and the other question about pet food, because that's not likely to be in a basket.
No, it's not likely to be in a basket, but I suspect that persons might be able to order it online. Again, we are asking people to really limit to essential services and essential supplies at this point in time. If you can do without it, we would encourage you to not join the queue in terms of the supplies. But I know that there are some people who rely on that on a particular dog food in order to be able to service their animals as well.
Okay. Acting Prime Minister indicated that you have to leave shortly. I have a slew of WhatsApp messages here online. Sure. I'm going to pick up one that has come up frequently. This is regarding money available from credit unions. Several people are in a situation where they have a credit union check, or alternatively, they have a withdrawal to make from a credit union that is not enabled by the ATM enabled. What happens in these situations? One gentleman is saying that the $2,000 check he's holding is all the money that he has access to, and he needs to do things to sustain himself. What can be said to persons like him?
Right. I think initially when we would have come up with the solutions to how the way forward, we would have spoken to the Bankers Association, and we looked at the credit unions, and obviously we felt that the ATMs would have been able to provide an opportunity for persons to be able to withdraw. Obviously, if there are cases such as his which exist, obviously we may need to revisit having maybe limited times for persons to be able to access to be able to get the funds. But as you can appreciate, we're trying to limit the numbers going into the banking institutions because we recognize obviously that, you know, once you open the doors, not everyone will use the discretion, and they will all just sometimes end up queuing to be able to get back into the facility. So it's something that we have to consider very carefully in terms of maybe he can perhaps reach out to the bank manager at this time to see if any particular accommodation can be made to see if, you know, he can be accommodated in a different way. But I know some of the institutions are willing to assist, and I would hope that he would be able to get some clarity from the bank directly or the credit union.
Okay. All right. Well, Santi Bradshaw, I want to thank you for spending the time with us. I appreciate that it's challenging for you to spend this much time at this point in time because you have so many other priorities. On a light note, there's an 80-year-old man who just sent me a message, and he said that he is very impressed with how you're handling yourself. My response to him was, why are you surprised? He wrote back and he said his only regret is that at 80 years old, he probably won't live long enough to see you become prime minister, but he wants to wish you all the best. And, you know, like others, certainly we will want you to take good care of yourself in this process. Your efforts, and certainly the efforts of everyone on the team, Mr. Carter, Dr. Bess, Dr. Lane, and all of the others, is certainly being appreciated. The Attorney General, Dale Marshall. The effort is not lost on us. The challenge for a number of us is that the issues and the challenges just seem so overwhelming. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to that particular gentleman, 80 years old. He is obviously in our vulnerable category group, certainly one of the people that we're trying to look out for. And I would urge him to stay at home as much as he can and look after himself. Again, I just want to thank the entire team. As you've said, we've got an amazing team of professionals, of ministry representatives. It's led by the Honourable Prime Minister, Mia Motley, who fortunately is recovering well. And we're excited at this time to be able to be at what I consider to be at the forefront of being able to overcome this as well. We've had this Harrison Point facility, which is being handed over to the QEH. We are obviously in the process of making sure that that institution is up and ready, and, you know, that we have certain things in place. Okay. So I just want to thank all the health professionals as well who are on the front line, the people in the labs. I mean, people are putting their lives at risk for Barbadians. And all that we can ask of the Barbadians who go to shop tomorrow is really just respect the social distancing, the physical distancing, and ensure that you heed the attention and the warnings and just be patient. It is not a perfect system. It is not a perfect time. But if you understand that, you know, the retailers have basically agreed to come forward and to assist in whatever way they can to get food stuff to people who really need it, and they're putting everything in place, working with the Royal Barbados Police Force, all I can ask at this stage is for the total cooperation of our country and all Barbadians and visitors alike to be able to get us through this difficult period. But thanks again, Peter, and thank you to the callers who've expressed concerns, and I hope we've been able to answer some of the questions you've had.
Okay, thank you for your time again. Okay, that was the acting Prime Minister, Ms. Anthea Bradshaw, and she spent just under an hour with us responding to questions from persons in the public domain regarding the COVID situation. We are on the air for another 10 minutes. I have a slew of emails, WhatsApp messages and emails, and I'm sorry that I couldn't pose all of them, but you appreciate that time was challenging. One gentleman is saying that apparently Roberts Manufacturing can supply cat and dog food in limited quantities at this point in time, so maybe you may want to reference, because Roberts also does animal feed. Animal feed is also not something that's under embargo, so if you want to buy a large quantity, perhaps you can go there with that regard. So all the other questions, unfortunately, we can't take now, and we hopefully will have opportunity to pose those maybe this weekend. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon, welcome. We are on 51 minutes past the hour of 1. Remember, we continue until 2 p.m. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Hey, I'm sorry, I missed the acting Prime Minister.
Yesterday,
we had a situation where lime, after a long request for installation, visited the home of an educator and refused to do an internet installation. And the reason was, they said, that the government had put a halt to all installations for internet. Now I wanted to find out from the, this is quite contradictory to what the Assistant Prime Minister had just said with respect to the cooperation that Lime was giving them. Now obviously this will impact the online learning, both on the teaching half and on the student part. So I wanted to know basically from the acting Prime Minister exactly what was happening.
I can answer that question for you, because no, under the current situation, nobody should be going in anybody else's house. If you are under curfew, you're under lockdown. The only reason that someone should be coming into your house is if you collapse and they're going in to take you to the hospital. Ultimately, but that is the reality. So what Lime has said, and I certainly, if you listen to the updates during the course of the afternoon, they've indicated that there's a self-installation option. And I think that that's what they're offering now. So I'm not surprised that the guy didn't come into your house, because...
No, they didn't go into the house at all.
Right, precisely, because it's illegal. But what they're supposed to do is to hand the self-installation package to you so you can effect the installation yourself.
They didn't offer it.
So what did they come and do?
They just came to the house, basically. They, first of all, came to the house. They did an inspection. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the very first things they said was that they could not do the installation because they did not have the developer's permission. When we got in touch with developers of the area, the developers were surprised and said, we don't understand why Lime is making that call, because they've done thousands, well, hundreds of installations for residents within this development before. So we confirmed to Lime that, yes, you have the developer's permission to do an installation. They then came back and said, sorry, well, we can't, still can't do the installation because government has said no installations are allowed. So they did not offer the self-installation option. They just simply said, no, we can't do the installation.
Ma'am, I suspect the problem is that you're not a candidate for self-installation for whatever reason. Maybe the infrastructure for self-installation has to be in place.
Right, with my 6 foot.
Do you have
burly husband standing?
No. Do you have copper, or do you have the other system, ma'am?
He would have done the inspection.
No. So do you have a copper system running into your house, or do you have the fiber optics cable?
You probably have copper. The two tenants, the tenant in the townhouse, and the tenant downstairs have internet.
Yeah, but I'm saying, do you have copper running into your house? I think that the problem you may be very well be having, ma'am, is that the kind of infrastructure that's required for you to do the self-installation may not be available to you at this point in time.
Oh, and he would not have been able to say.
I suspect that he maybe was not as elegant in his language as he could have been. But the challenge that they will have now is that they're not supposed to come into your house
under these current situations. No good sense and judgment.
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a lack of sense and judgment. It's just that everybody doesn't express himself as well as everyone else.
So there's a lack of training on Lyme's part.
But I don't know. I wouldn't want to say that either. I'm just saying that if there's a rule that says no one can come into your house, I mean, ultimately, no one can come into your house. And I think the challenge that you're facing is you don't like the way that he presented it. But my understanding is that were you a candidate for self-installation, he would have come and given you the package and told you, you know, happy, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, you know, get on with it. But the challenge is that I don't think you were such a candidate. And I'm not defending Lima, I don't know. But I'm just saying that that's what it sounds like.
It sounds as if you were, because certainly...
No, believe me, I was the last person to defend Lima.
Yeah. He would have been speaking to his supervisor while he was on the premises.
Okay.
So certainly some measure of communication could have taken place.
Right, so the point of the matter, ma'am, if it has gone all that way to a supervisor and they still are not doing it, then there's obviously a good reason why they're not doing it. Because under the curfew, they have been told not to do such things. So I'm sorry that it can't happen. I do feel it will affect your ability to learn and to offer...
Teach.
Right, to offer education at this point in time. It is a challenge. And, you know, I do hope that there can be some alternative arrangement made. Perhaps you could speak to Lyme's communications manager and see what she's able to do. I don't know whether there's a possibility she can do something. All right. All right, ma'am. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in. We're on 156. We haven't had a whole lot of calls today because of the challenges related to the press conference. And then we had the Prime Minister on the line. So, you know, we're trying to see what we can do to get a few more concerns in. 1257. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon
and welcome.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, good afternoon. This is the lady from St. Joseph calling back.
Okay, hi.
Yeah, I was cut off, actually, from the other call. Right. I called back hoping that I would get in before the at 10 p.m. had gone.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, you know, I started out by saying it's being handled with a paintbrush, right? The thing is, how do you wash your hands effectively using a cup of water?
But ma'am, hold on a second. Ma'am, we understand that your problem is a real issue and a real challenge. The acting prime minister also indicated that she understands, and she added communities to the list. Is you in St. Joseph, is people in St. John, is people in St. Andrew, and is people in St. Lucie?
Those are the lists that I called.
Right. But she has indicated that they understand the nature of the problem and they are going to do everything in their power to try to address it. I don't know what more we can do, ma'am. I understand the problem. I understand that it is not conscionable that you should have to wash your hands with a cup of water at this point in time. I do. But by saying it and repeating it over and over again, there's nothing that we can do now.
Yeah, I did not understand that from what she said.
She understood. Right. She acknowledged the problem, and she also acknowledged the fact that, you know, this is something that they have heard repeatedly from their members of parliament that are saying it is not good enough. And it is not good enough. So I'm saying the first part is that we have to acknowledge the situation is untenable at this point in time. It was untenable before COVID. Post-COVID, it is even more untenable. All right?
Right. So could I suggest, though, like, once everything is settled, because I tried to reach the representatives before time, could I suggest that our representatives in the various parts have some kind of session with us, you know,
The representatives know the problem, and the representatives are pulling out their hair that they cannot deal with the problem. They know the problem. They know the problem is egregious. So calling them to a room to shout at them is not going to tell them anything they don't already know. We have to find a way to fix it. So I am saying to them, instead of coming to a meeting, let us get to work to try to see if we can find a solution with Minister Abrams and whoever from the Water Authority. We need to find a solution, ma'am. But don't worry about it. There's no need for no further meetings because we know the problem. We know it bad. And we know it's a situation that cannot be left. It is untenable. All right, but unfortunately, ma'am, we're out of time. I do wish that I could continue because, as I said, I had a record number of interventions today, half of which I could not read and entertain, and I would love to have. The situation that we are currently in as a country continues to be a grave one. Let's just remember that we are not in it alone, that every other country in the world pretty much is in the same situation that we are in, some worse, some better. And the only country that's not under law, don't know, is Switzerland, which is a case study in and of itself. But, you know, we're all grappling with the same problem. I am conscious of the fact that we cannot say to a government that they should know better in a situation like this, because this is unprecedented. And I really do appreciate the efforts that are being made on our behalf at the governmental level. There will be a time for politics, but it's not now. So, special thanks to the production team. John Stock worked pretty hard today, first getting the nurses in, Nurse Thompson and Nurse Seal. We want to thank them for sharing their experiences with us for the first part of this program. I really did appreciate having the two senior sisters on with us. Special thanks also to the acting Prime Minister, Ms. Santia Bradshaw. I appreciate her spending just under an hour with us, chatting with our callers. And I also appreciate you, your interventions and your patience, because of course this program went a lot more slowly, and I appreciated it required a higher level of patience. So John and the team, I want to thank all of you. Larry is in next, and he will take you through a slightly more mellow part of the afternoon. My name is Peter Wickham, and I look forward to being with you next Tuesday on Down to Brass Tacks.